in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Jonah chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Jonah chapter 3, verse 9. We'll start in verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." And then he goes on to bemoan himself a little bit more, but let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the privilege to open your word, God, and I pray that you would be our guide and teacher now, Lord, that you'd fill me with your spirit. God, I beg for your spirit and your power from on high, and just ask that you would put words in my mouth to edify these people. Lord, give them believing and humble, willing hearts, God, to hear, open their ears, remove distractions, God. I pray that you would bind, Lord, the evil forces that would seek to distract us from hearing your word. God, that you would reign supreme in this building today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What we have here in these two passages is we'd like to call the sufficiency of the grace of God. And we have here in the book of Jonah, thank you, that reminded me. My phone is not off. It's always embarrassing when you're preaching and it goes off. But we have here in the book of Jonah, we have Jonah who is a prophet of God, and he is told to go to Nineveh. He is told to go preach to that people. He has an intense desire not to go. He hates those people. He doesn't want them to get right. He doesn't want them to be saved. He doesn't want them to repent. And he wants to see the wrath of God fall on that city. And so we know as far as the story in Jonah chapter 1, 2, and 3, he runs down to Tarshish, gets on the ship, gets thrown into the sea, swallowed by the fish, upchucked and everything else. And then finally he goes and preaches to these people, and he says, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And then we read where the king made a proclamation that said, "Let's fast, let's put on sackcloth, nobody gets water, nobody gets food, including the animals. And let's see if God will turn and repent from what he's going to do to us." And then God turns and is gracious to these people. He gives them a second chance. He gives them an opportunity. And then Jonah gets mad and he says, "I knew you were a gracious God." When God originally told him to go to Nineveh, he says in Jonah chapter 4, he says, "This was my word before you even told me to go." So evidently Jonah and God had some sort of little mini argument there before he left for Tarshish, that he says, "I know that if I go and they get right, then you're going to be gracious to them." The people of Nineveh were wicked, wicked people. The people of Assyria were wicked people. They did some of the most atrocious things that you'll ever read about. If you ever watch VeggieTales, you know they were a bunch of fish slappers. You know, what were we doing? We were talking about Jonah and Nineveh. We were talking about Nineveh with Cole. And I said, you know, God was going to destroy them because they were bad people. And he goes, yeah, they slap people with fish. I mean, well, not quite. That's just, you know, what I think. But the point was that they did things that should not have been done. And that they were extremely wicked, and God was going to pronounce judgment on them. But Jonah knew that if they repented, God would be gracious. God would be gracious. God would dole out that everlasting supply of grace that he has. And Jonah says, I knew. Way back then, I told you back then that if I went and they got right, then you would forgive them. And now he's mad at God because he repented of what he was going to do to those people and gave them, I think, another 400 years or whenever it was that Nineveh fell later. But then we go into the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 6 through 10, which we read. And Paul, even though God had given them abundant revelation, even though God had given Paul all of the mysteries and that personal experience on the road to Damascus and that time spent with him, and the revelation of the church and all those things that God gave Paul. Paul says that God gave him a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me down, to keep me humble. And he asked the Lord to take it from him three times. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That grace, that sufficiency, the sufficiency of the grace of God. It says, sufficient is having or providing as much as is needed. Enough. Adequate. You know, we have in our lives, we probably have refrigerators that are full, cabinets that are full of food, you know, probably a second refrigerator somewhere, a freezer, all sorts of. We have way more than what we need of physical things in this life. If you're like me, I have 7 suits, and I like all of them, and I wear them all. My wife gives me a hard time because I have a suit fetish. That's really what it is, and I give her a hard time because she has a shoe fetish. And we just go back and forth, but we have so much of everything in our lives, but we only take a little bit of the grace of God each day. And so why don't we go and take all of what we need? Why do we only take just a little bit of the grace or no grace? Why don't we go and claim that grace that God has given that will deal out every day to us for what we need, sufficient for the day thereof, sufficient for today? We need to go and we need to ask for that grace. And he will provide enough, he will provide an adequate amount for us. You know, God is not someone that's stingy. It's stingy. I have to watch myself. I get kind of stingy, you know, off my time, of my money, of everything. You know, Curtis said, well, we need to do this. I'm like, no, that's mine. I worked for that. That's mine. That's going to do it. And she has to work on me, but I'm stingy. But God is not that way. God is not that way. If you remember in John chapter 6, Jesus is given the discourse on the bread of life, and then they have the 5,000 men and women and children there. And it says that Jesus told him to sit down and we're going to give him something to eat. We're going to give him something to eat. But Philip says 200 pennyworth is not enough to feed these people. If you go off as far as what the comparisons, a penny would be a day's wages. So 200 days' wages was not enough to feed all of these people that were there. That would defeat all those people that were there. And God says, go to John chapter 6. There's a verse there that I wanted to read. But God is not stingy. He doesn't just provide, you know, if you need a whole loaf of bread, he doesn't give you a half. If you need something, he gives it to you as much as you need. In John chapter 6, in verse 11, we know that the little boy comes up and he gives him the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes. And so he causes them to sit down. Verse 11 of John chapter 6, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. I mean, it was an all-out feast. This wasn't just they got a little bit of bread and, you know, a little bit of fish, and then they, you know, that was enough. No, they had as much as they wanted to eat on that day, and then they had 12 baskets left over. That's God and his sufficiency and God and his grace dealing out more than what we actually need. More. It always meets our needs. It's never just a little bit. God meets those needs. And so I want to go over the sufficiency of the grace of God. What God gives us in sufficient supply. Through His grace, what God gives us in a sufficient supply each and every day, if we'll ask Him for it. The first of those is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We already read it. When Paul asked him to take away that thorn in the flesh, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The thing that we have in sufficient supply, if we'll ask it from God, is sufficient strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul is talking about the ministry and he's talking about the perils. And it says that they were pressed above measure. They were pressed above measure. You ever get in that spot in your life where you feel like you've just been pushed down so hard that something's got to give out? Something's got to give. You get that pressure on you. All the bills have to be paid. All this has to be paid. You got to find time to read your Bible. You got to find to spend time with your family. You got to have all these different things. You got to have time to work. You got to have time to do whatever it is that you, the responsibilities of life, crush down on you, and then you find out, I can't do it all. And it weighs on you, pressed above measure. And God says, my strength is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, that's not talking about me personally, that's talking about God. God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. When we ask Him for that. When we ask Him for the grace to have strength. When we ask Him for the grace to have strength. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength and my song." You know what happens in Exodus chapter 14? The nation of Israel was pressed into a situation where there was walls and canyons on this side, there was a Red Sea on that side, there was a big open land beach, and there was Pharaoh's army coming, the only way of escape. And they got pushed and pressed to the sea where they couldn't do anything else. They couldn't go anywhere else. They had no way to defend themselves. They had no way to care for themselves. There was no way they could get themselves out of that situation. And God, with His either really strong breath or with His hand, parted that Red Sea. And then they got to go on through. And the first thing they come out after that, they start that song, says, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my strength." It's the strength to get us to go on. Sometimes you just don't feel like getting out of bed. I mean, it's not because you were up till like 1 o'clock in the morning last night fishing. That's not, I'm not talking about that kind of tired. I'm talking about when you just don't feel like going on. When the stuff hits you, and not even sin, but just the hardships of life and the cares of life hit you to the point where you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. And there's a Bible verse for that. And it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's the grace of God, the sufficiency of the grace of God that doles out that strength every day if you'll ask for it. If you'll ask for it. He's sufficient in giving strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Feel like you can't do something? Quote a verse. You know what? You're limited by your own strength. You're limited. You can't do, you ever have, Cole is getting to that point now where he wants to do everything. And he thinks he can do it. I mean, we have this game that we play pretty much every other night where he starts wrestling with me and he gets me in a headlock and he goes, "I'm strongest." And I take him and flip him over and throw him on the ground and say, "I'm strongest." And then finally he has to succeed and say, "Daddy's stronger." And I'm going to take advantage of that until he is stronger than I am. But you know what? He has to learn, for right now, that Daddy's stronger and can handle it. You know, it's the old thing, opening the pickle jar. You know, he'll try to open a jar. He'll try to do those things, and he'll try, and he'll get mad, and finally he'll go, and then I can open it most of the time. If I get one of those little grippy things and go on it. But you know what? That's trusting. Why don't we bring God the pickle jar in our life? The problem that we struggle with and we try to do ourselves and then eventually you're getting so worked up that your hands get all sweaty and then the jar, the lid is even more slippery and you can't get it off anymore. Why don't we just bring the pickle jar to God in our lives and ask for strength? He has an all-sufficient supply of grace that He'll dole out his strength. If we ask for it, if we ask for it, the sufficiency of strength. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. The sufficiency of the grace of God. The grace of God that we can go to at any time. That we can go to at any time. And the next one, with the sufficiency of the grace of God to give us strength. And then this next one is really kind of the main point that I want to get across. Is the sufficiency of the supply. The sufficiency of the supply. There is not, a bank account in heaven, and once it gets down of grace of God, once it gets down, you know, below, God doesn't, you know, just say, all right, bank's closed, you can't get any more. You know what? That's happened before in my life. The bank says, no, there's nothing else in there. But I've never gone to God and said, God, give me the grace this day to make it. And he says, man, I'm fresh out. That guy over there just asked me for my last ounce of grace, and I gave it to him. God doesn't do that. There is a never-ending, inexhaustible supply of the grace of God, and if you just ask for it. It's the sufficiency of the supply. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, says, by which, starting verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access to a storehouse of grace that we can run to at any time. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's through being justified by faith in Jesus Christ that we can go and run to that storehouse at any time and ask. We have access. It kind of reminds me of the story of go to Hebrew, or you guys probably mostly know this verse, Hebrews chapter 4:15. Therefore, we should come boldly before the throne of grace that we should ask for grace and mercy and help in our time of need. You know what? We have access. We have the ability to go to the throne of the God that made heaven, that holds it with his hand, that orders the universe, that's upheld by the word of his power, that causes the sun to rise and the sun to set, that causes the rain to fall. The God that made us, we can go to his throne. That's a privilege. That's an honor. You know, it reminds me of the story of Esther. When Esther goes, you know, not anybody could just come before the king. They had to be called to come before the king. King Ahasuerus, in order for you to go before the king, you had to be called on a certain business. And if not, you could be killed for just stepping into that throne room. You could be killed. And you know what Esther does? She finds out the plight of her people and how Haman is trying to kill the Jews there. And she says, I'm going to go, and if I die, I die. But she walks in there, and the king looks at her, and he says she finds favor in his eyes, and he holds out that scepter to him, and he says, what do you want? Up to half my kingdom, it's yours. That's the supply that God has. It's the supply of his grace that we can run to and take out some really nice withdrawals. You know, it always feels good, you know, when you have a little bit of money in there and you can take out, you know, you're not talking like $20 just to get you through the week, but, you know, when you can make a big purchase, this makes me feel good. I only get to do about once every 3 years or so. But, you know what? That we can go and withdraw an exorbitant amount of grace from God if we need it for that day. There's no running out of his supply. We have access. We can get in there. All right? We know the code. All right, and it's called Jesus Christ. You know, we can punch it in and get in there, and we're in. We're in there. We have access. And then go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It's an inexhaustible supply. God's grace will never run out. If God's grace runs out, then we have a problem. Because there's a whole lot of eternity left. All right? But his grace will never run out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. Supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All of our needs. And as much as I want to classify the 18-foot bass boat with the, you know, the depth finder and the sonar and, you know, the foot pedal. I mean, the whole idea, that's not a need. Food and raiment. All right? But you know what? You know what's a need in our lives? The grace of God. And He'll dole it out every day if we ask Him for it. Every day if we ask Him for it. It's an inexhaustible supply. You know what the nation of Israel? You know, we're probably talking 2 to 3 million, 1 to 3 million people somewhere in that area of people that came out of the nation of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, and then came into the wilderness. And you know, God fed them every day, morning and night, with quail and manna for 40 years. That's a lot of bread. 1 to 3 million people a day, two times a day, quail in the morning, manna, or no, other way around, quail in the evening, manna in the morning, every day for 40 years. For 40 years, God did that. He never ran out of quail. You know, I mean, that's a lot of quail. Quails are not that big. It's not like you cook a chicken and, you know, three people can, you know, kind of eat on the chicken for a while. Quail, you know, that's like one of those delicacy birds, you know, you put on there and it's like this little drumstick and you pick it off. They're not huge, but you know what? You got to think at least one per person, maybe. Maybe one per person. So you're talking 1 million to 3 million quail every day. Where do those come from? From the supply from God that holds everything. Every day. Every day. And then bread in the evening. Manna in the evening. You know what? You only need grace for today. The past is already done, and you may need grace to deal with it today. The future's not in our control, pretty much, so you may need some grace to plan for it. But you need grace for today, and today only. And you ask God in the morning when you get up, God, give me the grace to make it through this day. Give me the grace to do right. Give me the grace to live for You. Give me the grace to read my Bible. Give me the grace to pray. Give me the grace to speak for You. Give me the grace to do what's right. Every day, and He'll never run out. He'll never run out. He only gives you, though, what you need for today. We can't store up the grace of God for a rainy day. We can't, you know, take it and get a whole bunch today and none of it tomorrow. We only get grace for today, but it's enough for today. And then tomorrow, He gives us enough for tomorrow. And then the next day, enough for the next day. He gives us a sufficient supply of grace. And the last one, go to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. We have sufficient strength. We have sufficient supply. And this last one is my personal favorite. It's sufficient space. Come on. Book of Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. In Ezra chapter 8 and 9, Ezra is trying to get some things done in the nation of Israel again, and he finds out and he sees that the nation of Israel, that the men of the nation of Israel have joined other nations' wives to themselves, okay? Which was an abomination, which was not supposed to happen in the nation of Israel. They were not supposed to go out and marry women of other nations that were around them. And so he sees this and he cries and he weeps and he repents for his people. In Ezra chapter 9, probably one of my favorite chapters just on repentance, and when you fail, you go to that chapter, and I prayed that chapter multiple times in just his repentance and his prayer before God. But it says in verse 6, says, "O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head. Our trespass has grown up unto the heavens." 7, "Since this day of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to the spoil, to confusion of face, as it is this day. But now, for a little space, grace hath been shown from our God, from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." Ezra is saying here that God has given us this little opportunity to get back to what we know to do right. God has given us a little, and that's the grace of God. God does not have to give us any space whatsoever to repent or allow wrong. When we are, when we do wrong, as according to the law, and he would be completely just in doing it, the hammer should be brought down and punishment should be brought immediately. But it's through the grace of God that he gives us just a little bit of space to come back to him for what we need. I call it stupid space. He gives us just a little bit of room to act stupid so that he hopes we come back to him. You know what? Sometimes I find that that experience teaches a perfect lesson. You know, you allow your kids to do something, and not necessarily dangerous. I mean, a little bit dangerous, but, you know, just that that some things they just have to go through. And you may tell them, you know, don't do this or do that, and you don't do it, but you don't come down hard on them, and you just let them go just a little bit. And then they, perfect example, Ian. A couple weeks ago, we just moved into the new house, and so it's been sitting for a little while, so there's just mice, you know, and mice everywhere. And so we got mouse traps set up all throughout the house, and we told him, don't touch that. And we had our training session, and we smack his hand, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch that. And, you know, a little bit later, he crawls into there, and he gets some space, he goes out from us, and he puts his hand in the mouse trap, and gets caught. And, but you know what? He hasn't touched a mouse trap since. He doesn't even, won't even go near the thing anymore. Just, he's perfectly all right with that. But you know what? We had to just give him a little bit of space, a little bit of stupid space. And then he learned that experience, and then he come crawling back to mama real fast. You know what? Sometimes in our lives, we look and we say, God, why are you allowing them to do that? Why are you allowing them to go out and do wrong? Maybe he's given him just a little bit of space to get back. That God doesn't bring the hammer down right away. I thank God he did that in my life so many times and still does it. When I do wrong or act a certain way that I shouldn't be acting. And he just gives me a little bit of grace, and then he says, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. But he lets you take those steps so that eventually you'll learn. You know what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, I think it is there. That Paul talks about himself. He says, but I was before injurious and blasphemer and a murderer. And he tells all those things. Actually, let's just read that. That's a good one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, or 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. God gives us space to repent. God gives us space to be revived. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. As much as I want to say, you know, as a preacher, we should go. You got to go. You got to work. You got to work. You got to work for God. You got to work for God. You got to work for God. Sometimes in your life, you just need to sit down and relax for a little bit and let God work on your spirit. It's easy to get caught up in doing too much. It's easy to get caught up in doing the wrong things when your focus should be somewhere else. And God sometimes just allows you to just back off. Give a little bit of space to revive yourself because he knew you would have thrown yourself over the edge to just relax. That's what the book of Ezra says. It says that there's a little reviving, a little reviving. Just gives us space. Gives us space. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." You have some years before your salvation that you did a lot of things just ignorantly. You just did things ignorantly. You didn't know any better. Or if you did, you were just being ignorant. But then God gives you that little bit of space, and it's the grace of God that gives you that space, sufficient space. Sometimes it's not the overbearingness that draws somebody. Most of the time it doesn't. It's that pulling back that God gives you that then you kind of look around. It's kind of like in the grocery store when we've done this a couple of times to Addie and Cole. Now that they're getting a little older, you know, they want to run off. They want to touch everything. They want to look at everything. And so I did what my parents did to me. You know, we started to wander off. We said, don't wander off. You need to stay right next to us. And then they wander off. And so then you kind of step around the aisle a little bit and you watch them. And then they get that panic look on their face like, Mommy and Daddy aren't here. Why? You're just trying to teach them a lesson. That's what God does to us sometimes. He gives us some space so that we realize he's gone. And then we can get back to him. It's that space that we need. It's that stupid space that we need. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. We're almost done here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And there's a number of verses in Psalms 86, Psalm 103, Psalm 116, Psalm 145. That God is gracious and full of compassion. God is gracious and full of mercy. God is gracious and full of loving kindness. All those verses. I mean, there are just, I think it's 200 and some odd times grace or gracious shows up in the Bible. And most of those times, I think almost all those times, are some of the Old Testament ones are not, but most of them are God's graciousness to us. God's graciousness to his people. But God will wait. God will wait that he may be gracious unto us, and therefore will he be exalted. All right, two more quick verses, and then we're just going to read these, and then we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself weak spiritually, weak physically, weak emotionally, weak mentally, weak whatever it may be strong, therefore, in the grace. In the grace. It's the grace of God that gets us through every single day. Every single day. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after he has suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's what we want in our lives. We want to be established. We want to be strengthened. Or we want to be settled. We want to be perfect. We have to suffer, but it's through the grace of God that gets us through that. It's through the grace of God that God is sufficient to give you strength to meet the needs of the day. God is an everlasting supply of grace that we can draw from. And that God is full of grace to give you just a little bit of space if you need it. All right, so that's just a little bit on the grace of God that the Lord showed me. And one of my favorite song. You know, a lot of times we worry about tomorrow. You know, we worry about tomorrow. We worry, and that steals our joy. That steals the strength that we have because we're not trusting in him to do that. But there's a song by Ira Stanfill, you know, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Has anybody ever heard that song? I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it says, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies, they turn to gray. And I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he's what lies ahead. Every step is getting brighter. As the golden stairs I climb, every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will ever dim the eye, at the ending of the rainbow where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And the man, the God that holds our hand is the God that gives us an everlasting supply of grace if we ask for it. Take the grace of God by shovelfuls this week, not spoonfuls. All right, that's it. We'll have a few minutes and time for church. Let's go ahead and pray for you. And Lord God, thank you for your grace that you give out to us each and every day liberally, God. Thank you for just being able to make it through a day and trusting in you for it. God, help us to not trust in our own strength, Lord, but trust in the perfect strength of you, God. Help us to go to the storehouse that's full of grace, Lord. And Lord, please be gracious to us and give us a little bit of space when we do wrong. Lord, help us to get back to you when that happens, Lord, and through your grace. And we'll exalt you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.